Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where many of you are watching the show, listening, watching live every day, 1 to 2 p.m., except Wednesdays. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Happy Monday. Very exciting. Our show today, we have a great guest, Cunning Mix. We're going to be calling her in about 15 minutes, and she is awesome. She hosts the Polyamory Weekly podcast. Menace, you know I love the topic of polyamory.
Yes, you do.
And some things she can talk about is there's a lot of things she can talk about. She wants to talk about sucking Smurf spooge. I'm not sure what that is, but also some poly stuff. How to Jealousy 101, modern day poly from Utopia till now, and just about regular relationships, you know, polyamorous relationships.
Oh yeah, sucking Smurf spooge, I'm sure that's a normal relationship.
That is going to be a normal thing. So we're going to call her soon. And then also you can call us anytime, 415-992-7392. You can also leave a message on our voicemail when we're not doing the show, and we will play your message on the air when we burn the CD.
When I figure.
And yeah, it's Monday. I had a long weekend. My mom was here. If you guys saw the Free Friday show, my mom was on the show, which was great.
I loved it.
I know. She gave really practical advice.
I really enjoyed it a lot. So people should listen to it.
Please listen to it. She gave really practical advice because, you know, the two things that break up relationships the most, like the reason why people get divorced, are usually money or sex. And my mom's a financial planner. She's an expert. She speaks all around the country about couples and money and how to deal with it, because it's like the one thing people don't talk about. And it's so important. So She got into that. And I thought that was really interesting. And we had fun. She just left yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was all weekend.
All weekend. It's a long time with mom, but it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally appreciate it.
How'd you fit in hanging out with some guys?
I didn't hang out with any dudes. It was all mom all the time.
Really?
We went shopping. We went for walks. She bonded with my dog. They took a nap together.
That's really cool.
It was
though.
Cool. How was your weekend?
My weekend was semi-eventful. I mean, I haven't been feeling 100%, so I thought I would stay home and rest a little bit.
Oh, that's mature.
But my my coworkers, who are all females, because my house, my apartment is down the street from our radio station,
right.
So it's like I'm the closest one.
Right.
And it's in the middle of everything where they, you know, to go party.
Right.
So they wanted to come over and, like, pre-drink before they went to the nightclub. And so they came over and they were just wild and crazy. And we took funny photos, the Instagram right. stuff. I ended up putting on the Tinky Winky outfit.
Oh, of course.
And I was taking pictures with the ladies. So if you guys follow me on Instagram, you can see them. They're pretty hilarious.
Follow Menace on Instagram. That is White Menace.
White Menace. So I did that. And then I stayed home and I watched Bridesmaids again, which I need you to see.
I really want to see it. My mom, we walked past a Bridesmaid sign. She goes, that was the stupidest movie I ever saw. And God, everyone tells me I have to go see it.
No, you would totally.
How can I see it? Can I watch it? Can I rent it?
You can watch it on demand since you have cable.
Oh, you told me that on demand. Let me write it down that it's still there right now on demand.
So you want me to break it down how you see it?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. You click.
On demand.
On demand, the on demand button. And then it says movies just in. And then scroll down and you find Brian's
page. Okay.
And then you press enter.
I'll do it tonight for
do
sure.
It. I'm telling you, you would love it.
Okay.
Why did my mom hate it? I don't know. It's really filthy, younger humor, but not too young.
She said there was like shit humor where people were like going to the bathroom. And she's like, I don't find that funny.
Yeah. No. You don't actually see shit or anything like that. No. But it's really hilarious. It's definitely like really true to the times, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend it to anybody.
I'm going to watch it tonight because my TV week is starting.
Sweet.
Of watching television. I have to. I have no choice.
You've been saying that.
I know, but it's been a busy time.
Are you up on anything about this? I've seen it all over Twitter. It's not a new story that I've been up on, but Amanda Knox?
No, yeah, I saw something about it, but what is it exactly?
I don't know. I think she was like murder or something, and now they just – when I was walking into the studio, they said that she got off free.
For what?
I don't know.
We don't know either. I thought you would know. I don't know. It's not in my news or anything.
It's one story that slipped me. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either, but I did just see it on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
So follow me on Twitter, sexthemily, and Menace and White Menace. But I've been tweeting more. So be happy to know. Yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. That's what we got. I'm excited to call our guest, but we can get into a little unless you have anything else to share with me, we could get into some sex in the news.
No, yesterday I rented a car, drove around the city, enjoyed some last minute nice weather before. It's going to be terrible.
No, because it's raining today.
Yeah. No, it's going to be – it's the worst day is going to be Wednesday, which sucks. It's because I have to go to an outside concert with Blink-182.
Oh.
And they said it's going to be horrendous.
Oh, man. Why? Yeah. This is our summer. People, you have to understand that we don't get a summer. Freezing cold. July, August, but September, October is our holy grail of summer.
Yeah.
And it's not happening this year. And I feel gypped.
It sucks.
It was nice this weekend.
Yeah, I think this – and then they said it's going to be nice again.
I want to see everyone out in sundresses being hot and sexy and like hooking up. No, that's what I want when it's hot out.
They said it should be 80 by Thursday.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that. we'll try for that. It will be good. And then what? Here's some things I have to tell you that my book party is going to be at Good Vibrations this Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. in San Francisco, the one on Mission and Fifth. And you're all invited. If you're in San Francisco, stop on by. I've got my new book called Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now, but the actual release date is October 11th. But we will be selling books that night. It's going to be my co-author, Jamie Waxman, who's actually going to be a guest on the show this Friday. She's awesome. And I really want everyone to go come to the party.
Sweet.
It's going to be really fun. Are you going to come?
I will come.
Yay!
What time is it out?
6 to 8.
6 to 8?
Yeah, you can bring your girlfriends or whatever.
Girlfriends?
All your posse.
I'll show up.
You can even wear a Tinky Winky.
Oh, I'll show up with a harem?
No, yeah, dude, harem's even better.
Now, how much would you give me to show up in the Tinky Winky outfit?
Oh, my God, how much do you want? You would probably do it without being paid is the thing. So I don't even need the money incentive. The monetary incentive. I don't believe that you do. We'll also be reading your emails today. And some topics include, the theme song. Several people wrote in for the theme song because I was going to change it and they say not to.
That's what I said.
Someone wants to know to talk to their boyfriend about kinky sex. We'll be talking about how to talk to your partner about fantasies. And some other things, too. Oh, how to have an orgasm with your partner if you're able. A lot of women, this is a very common question. A lot of women are able to have orgasms no problem with a vibrator by themselves. But when they're with a partner, they can't have an orgasm. And it's a bummer. So we're going to try to give some tips on that.
They should get a clone of Willie.
Clone a Willie of their boyfriend and then pretend
it's them. Yeah, and then they can try it in different angles. And then when they like it.
That's not a bad idea.
See, I'm a genius.
You are a genius. You're a friggin' genius. Clone a Willy is where you can clone your boyfriend or your partner. Yeah, because, or a friend's penis. If you just happen to like your friend's penis, you can clone it.
How is that? That is a good idea, right? Because this way you could figure out.
But it's not the same thing because you could be doing it yourself. It's just like you scratching your own back doesn't feel good. Like you having sex with your boyfriend's penis that's in a made into a dildo. It's not exactly the same thing.
Why not just try it?
Why not try it? ClonaWilly.com or something. Ask your boyfriend if you can pour mold over his penis and then ship it off. Didn't someone ask you to do that? And you said no.
Yeah, they
was that you?
Asked me to do it. Yeah.
You didn't want your penis.
Because if I
your penis is floating around out there.
Yeah.
And
then
she clones that one, and then everyone's got a menace dildo, and it's just like.
No. I'm just saying she walks around with it, showing people. I don't like that because you see, it goes back to how girls talk about everything in depth. You know?
We do.
If I had a pocket vagina of my girlfriend, I'm not going to show all my friends, look, I have a pocket vagina of my girlfriend. Not going to happen.
Not going to show everyone, but
a girl would. Go around showing the guys.
Yeah, because it's fun. You'd be like, look what I got at the store today. Or look what I ordered online today. My boyfriend's penis. Here you go. So, but we do. Like, I guess we have. I've had conversations with them. They're like, how big is he? And I'm like, showing them.
Wow.
Is that mean?
Yeah, you shouldn't be talking about that stuff.
Yeah,
you guys are the worst.
Personal friends, I can do that.
You guys are the devil, gypsies,
and
tricksters.
We are not the devil. We are not. You're hilarious. We are so not. We can call our guests. I guess we could call her now.
Okay.
Get into her now, and then we'll get into sex and the news and mail and all that stuff.
We're going to try it. We're going to see
Let's
how it
hope
goes.
It works. We've had some phone issues, but, you know, hey.
Hey, no. What can you do? Now, can you remind everybody who it is again?
Yes, this is Cunning Mix, and she hosts a really popular podcast called Polyweekly.com. And she is awesome. She's like an expert, and she's responsible for – she talks about non-monogamy from a kink-friendly, pansexual point of view.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Cunning Mix.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you just beautifully.
I told you it was the last guest.
No, we fixed it.
No,
Yay.
We didn't.
Well, whatever. So happy to have you.
I can hear you okay. The other person in the background, I cannot hear as well. Very faint.
I wasn't talking.
I amend my evaluation.
Okay.
So Cunning Mix, hi. Okay, so tell me about yourself. Tell me a little about yourself here. I have your bio here, but tell me about your podcast and what you're all about before we get into it.
Okay. Are we live? Are we on the air?
We are live.
We are live. Cool. Yay. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So my podcast is Polyamory Weekly, and it's Tales from the Front of Responsible Non-Monogamy from a Pansexual Kink-Friendly Point of View. Been running for 6 years since the spring of 2005, and it's been a lot of fun.
Right. I love it. So you're polyamorous yourself, I take it?
I am polyamorous myself, yes.
Okay. What's your relationship like? Your polyamorous relationship? Walk me through it. If you want to.
So my polyamorous relationship for the last 5 years has looked a hell of a lot just like dating.
Okay. I totally get that.
I am virtually indistinguishable from a single girl who is dating, who just happens to be really honest about her relationships and has no problem with dating two or three people at the same time, as long as they all know about each other and have met each other. But that being said, I've had a dating relationship recently progress to the point where we're using the boyfriend-girlfriend term.
Ooh.
And more importantly, I have recently changed my Facebook status from single to in an open relationship.
Oh, wow. That's a big one. We talk about that all the time.
Do you know what's funny? Is the new Facebook profiles, you can list multiple girlfriends now.
You can?
I know, has made the people in the poly community very, very happy. And so he is married. He's been married for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I met his wife really early on. She's very cool, very laid back. Sometimes that can be a very stressful meeting.
Totally.
Meeting the long-term partner for a long time. She was so laid back and so wonderful. It was just like, you know, hanging out with old friends. It was very comfortable. Met his son and his dog, so everything's all cool.
Okay.
And Yeah, that's pretty much it. I've been enjoying that for, we're about 5-6 months in. So
okay.
That's been a lot of fun.
Now, does his son know what's going on?
Say again?
Does his son know what's going on?
Yes. Yeah, his son is 14. Okay. And they have had partners in the past. They've had, I think they've had live-in partners, actually, as well. Maybe not. Okay, I should clarify that.
Right, no, but that's...
his son's 14. He's really cool. It's like, okay, yeah, cool, whatever.
Right.
When you're at the comic book store, pick me up the next comic book.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, whatever. And the more the merrier. That's interesting. Okay, so tell me about some of the topics that you cover on your show. I know you recently went to Burning Man, and I know there was some stuff you wanted to talk about that, which is a major festival in the desert here in San Francisco.
Yeah. Nevada.
No. Nevada.
It started in San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. It's in the middle of nowhere.
It's not here.
It is a desert in that it does not support life. There is not a single living thing there.
I know.
Nothing.
I mean,
not
I've been.
Bug,
I
not
meant
a microbe, to... nothing.
Yeah.
And was except 50,000 naked breathing burners.
I know. It's so great, right? Now, what is this sucking Smurf spooge?
Sucking Smurf spooge. Okay. So those who have been in Burning Man will know what I'm talking about when I say Otter Pops. And those who have not or had a different childhood from me will not. But so, Bernie, it's in the desert, right? It's very hot. Although to me, it wasn't that hot. It was only about 90. I'm from Texas. It was
right.
It was nice terribly warm to me.
Okay.
But I had some difficulties with acclimation. It's also at a higher altitude. Plus, the bigger problem for me is that I'm not a big party girl, and the raves go on all night. So I did not sleep for 3 days straight, and because I was listening to this thunk thunk thunk.
Oh, I know. It drives me crazy. I don't love that music. But anyway.
So I had some physical issues, and I got to this point where I was about to pass out. I had just done the BMIR Poly Weekly radio show, and towards the end, I was starting to not be able to put sentences together, and then I just sort of like fell over. I couldn't stand up.
Oh my God.
I'd been drinking plenty of water. I had had some food. I had walked across the playa, but not a lot. I mean, maybe half a mile, a mile, not terribly far. And it wasn't even that high. It wasn't super hot. I was naked anyway. And we were trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And we figured it was just acclimation. And then somebody brought to the green room and gave me an Otter Pop, which is basically a plastic tube full of brightly colored icy sludge.
Okay.
And this one was electric blue.
Okay.
And it had already started to melt in the warmth. So it was basically this gooey electric blue stuff.
Oh, my God. You never know what you're going to find in the desert.
I'm sucking out of this plastic tube. So that was me sucking my Smurf spooge.
Okay. Got it.
I thought it was a new sexual fetish.
I thought it was a sexual thing that we didn't know.
You would think, but no, it's one of those things that actually sounds far more disgusting than it actually is in real life.
Right.
Although, I don't know if you guys have seen the Smurf porn, but the Smurf porn is very disturbing.
No, I love the Smurfs, but I don't know if I want to see them getting it on. That would kind of ruin it for me. But I have not seen Smurf porn. Smurf porn. It's probably really funny.
It's not animated. It's real people painted blue and whistling that little Smurf song in an orgy setting.
That is hysterical
if you haven't seen it.
Oh, my God, no. I haven't seen it at all. So what kind of stuff do you talk about on your – what are the big questions that you get asked on your podcast, being polyamorous expert?
The questions I get asked most often would be, I am experiencing blah, 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 blah. Is that normal?
Right. We get those too. Is it normal? Yeah.
And where do I find – my partner and I have decided to be poly. Where are all the poly people?
That's a great question.
How do you find them?
How do you find them? That's a great question. I get asked that question a lot. There are like people who want to have threesomes. I know it's a little different. But people who want to swing or have threesomes are like, where do we find these people? And we're in San Francisco, but we have an international audience. So what do you tell people?
But the short answer is, and this is for poly, not specifically for swinging. If you want swinging, go to a swing club. That's the best place to find people who understand like what the basic rules of etiquette are.
Right.
But for poly people, there are five basic places where it is likely that a larger percentage of the population will be poly or poly-friendly.
Okay.
So that if you see somebody you like, it's more likely that that person would either be poly or at least not be offended and slap you upside the head if you suggested something. And those places are, see if I can remember off the top of my head. Well, first, since we mentioned it, Burning Man, hello.
Right.
Burning Man is definitely a place to meet your free love, more liberated kind of people. And Second is pagan events. So if you go to any type of pagan type event, again, I'm not suggesting that you go to any of these things and start hitting on people left and right.
Right.
But you will
probably
be more likely to find like-minded people at your, you know, your local Burning Man event or at a pagan event. There are also sci-fi conventions. And in here, I also lump sci-fi conventions, gaming conventions, and comic book conventions.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's what Metis does.
I did. I went to actually one this weekend, but I didn't see any Polymer.
How do you know? You might have. They just didn't approach you.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's true. And actually, I just did the last podcast I did was on the collision of geeks and kink. And we actually explored in more detail why it is that the sci-fi geek world is so amenable to polyamory and these alternative relationship styles. So
that's
that even
so
if people aren't specifically poly, most of them have at least considered it.
Why do you think that
There's
is? What is the connection? What'd you find out?
Well, it was very interesting. So I did this particular interview with Teresa Giacino, who writes for China Shop magazine, and who also writes for Tor, and Pondard, who writes for, I think his site is Geeky Sex. Is that right? GeekySex.com? Pondard, please don't shoot me if I get it wrong. And Teresa had recently researched an article on this very topic, so I brought them in to talk about what the research was. And there were a couple of different theories. The big question I wanted to know, is it that, you know, the people who are reading, for example, comic books, they want, you know, kinky alternative type relationships. So are the creators simply giving them what they want?
Right.
Or is it that the people who are writing the sci-fi and geek and all this stuff, are those people actually more likely to be sort of kinky and or poly, I was kind of lumping it all together,
right,
themselves. And it seems that because of the fact that in the science fiction realm, that both the creators and the consumers of this particular content are already questioning reality, they're already in alternate reality model, so considering an alternate relationship model is really not that weird.
Right.
And there's also this idea that if you take something that's socially unacceptable but have aliens do it, then it's okay.
Right.
Right? Because it's an alien culture. And we're trained in this culture to respect other cultures. So if we had just plain old humans doing it, big problem. But if it's a werewolf and a vampire or, you know, two Klingons, then it's okay. So you can also kind of get away with a little more than you can in other contexts.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. That does make sense. But I never would have thought that, like comic book conventions.
Going to WonderCon this year.
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
Oh, and I don't know if you guys know, but the creator of Wonder Woman, William Marston, he was polyamorous. He was known to be polyamorous.
Oh, and didn't know that.
There's been speculation on how kinky he was, but there is an awful lot of kink, apparently, in the early Wonder Woman novel or comic books.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Oh, my God. Okay, so what kind of kink are you into?
So I'm into a lot of things.
Okay.
I'm really into shibari, which is Japanese rope bonded suspension.
What?
It's interesting. Shibari can be, while it can be very painful and violent, it also tends to have a little bit of the woo-woo to it, right? So you can get suspended and tied up, and it's like you're flying, and you could be in this almost like a trance state. So it actually brings forth a different kind of realm of people. I'm also into all types of impact play. So, you know, spanking and being hit with various implements. Not so much into pointy things. I have some hard limits on pointy things.
Okay.
Oh, I actually recently discovered, I thought I'd be into it, and I was correct. I recently discovered I'm really, really, really into gun and firearm play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there's
that
also,
sounds,
you know, like
kind of dangerous.
Spitting, kicking, takedown, wrestling,
slapping. Right. And so your partners are all into this too.
I'm sorry, say again?
Your partners are all into this too with you.
Different partners would be into in different aspects. It's not like each one has the entire checklist.
Right. Unfortunately, they never do. Each
right.
one,
well,
each partner doesn't have to do
everything. There's the argument for Polly right there. If you're really into these three things and your partner's only into two of them, Are you really going to live your whole life without that third thing?
Exactly. That's why polyamory makes so much sense.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. I love polyamory. I really do. I don't know if I've been able to jump into it, but I appreciate it. I think it makes a lot of sense. But unfortunately, in our culture, there's not many models of it. So people don't really, they still think it's this, you know, alternative. I mean, it is alternative, obviously, but no one knows. Like, people always say, but does that really work, Emily? Do polyamory, I mean, that must be a big question you get asked too, because people always ask me that. Like, can you really show me any examples of relationships that work?
It works about as often as monogamous relationships.
That's what I say. Exactly. I'm like, how many happy marriages do you know?
I know several triads and quads and networks that have been together for, you know, more than 5 years. I know some that have been together for more than 20 years. So, my partner, I mean, he and his wife have been poly for 20 years. So, obviously, it works really well for them. I don't think it's really fair to call them a threesome because there's more than that in the family, but there's a well-known triad here in Seattle that published Family, the web series. If you want a web series, a web video series that makes fun of and while acknowledging all the weird aspects of poly life, you should go watch it.
Sounds cool. Yeah. Because I think a lot of people don't understand even what polyamory what it is. Like, I've said a lot of people, like, oh, it's polyamorous, and they really, even in San Francisco, they don't quite get what it means.
Well, that's because everybody has a different definition. For some people, and that's a mistake I made in my first year of being poly, is I thought, okay, so poly means X. And so I when somebody says poly, I would assume it meant X. And even for us, I mean, I was with a partner and his wife, and we were all doing a long-term poly thing for the first time, and we all had different definitions of what X was. We all had different things that we were comfortable with that being. So that's one of the things I say is, you know, with monogamy and polyamory, for God's sake, don't take anything for granted. Do not assume your monogamous partner has the same definition of monogamy as you do.
Exactly.
Because for some, it means I can flirt but not have sex. For some, it means I can flirt and have sex when I'm on business trips as long as it doesn't cause any inconvenience to my partner.
Right.
And for some, it means you are not allowed to smile or think about another person of the same or opposite gender, depending upon your orientation. And they're all variations in between. And the same thing is true of poly. It's just people shape it in different ways, and we change throughout our lives.
Right.
I've talked to many people that were very open, and then when they had kids, they closed their relationship for a while, and then they opened it up maybe 5 or 10 years later.
I've heard about that too.
Because that's what they needed to do to maintain a healthy relationship.
Right.
So there really aren't any rules, which is one of the things that's really tricky about poly. The only rule is communicate, and everything else is kind of up in the air.
How long did you date non-poly before you got into the poly scene?
So I actually, my first poly experience was with Great Answer, and I was, how old was I at the time? Early 30s, 30, 31, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, identified as monogamous before that, but mostly because I didn't know what else to be. And I'm a very sort of oddly honest and law-abiding citizen. And so I would never, you know, cheat on anyone. So I basically would break up with somebody if I wanted to date someone else. But when I was a kid, I always had these fantasies about, oh, I'm going to, you know, grow up and meet Mr. Right and be swept away to Paris by Prince Charming. And then I would continue the storyline with, and then I meet another really great French guy, and how does this work with two? Because I really kept wanting to add another one to my fantasy, but I couldn't figure out how. Because, well, as you pointed out, Emily, there's no, we don't have any models for this. We don't have any really good happily ever afters for poly that we see as part of our popular culture.
Right. It does. We really don't. Now, what do you think about the don't ask, don't tell in relationships? Does that work? Like, let's just be open but not talk about it?
I personally come out very strongly against don't ask, don't tell because it's a version of the closet, and the closet is toxic.
I agree.
The other reason I find that it tends not to work very well, and some people do it and it works for them, so try it. If it works for you, hey. Don't listen to me.
Right.
But the difficulty that I see with don't ask, don't tell is that if your partner knows you're going out and doing something, but she doesn't know what you're going out and doing, she's going to imagine the worst.
Right.
And the worst will be based on her own fears and insecurities, which is probably a zillion times worse than what you are actually doing.
Right.
So unless your partner is insanely secure with him or herself, don't ask, don't tell can be very, very tricky.
Okay.
Because
so they
you
need
may
to communicate.
Just be going
you, right. You need to like
I'm
bring
sorry,
all
go ahead.
The love. You have to communicate and bring all the lovers into it and all the communication about who you're seeing and what you're doing and have them meet the other one. What?
That wouldn't work
right.
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. To whatever level you're comfortable with. I mean, some people just will do a check-in every now and then. There's some people that basically have a lot of long-distance lovers, so they're not getting together to watch TV every night of the week.
Right.
They basically, you know, they'll chat with an existing partner, maybe through IM, maybe do a phone call or two. Partner feels okay. So whatever level of contact works in order for you and your unit.
Okay.
Your unit. To be secure is what's right. One of the things about Polly is you get to know yourself really well and what
yeah.
you need. And I'm the kind of person that I need pretty continual contact.
Right, with your
if
lovers.
If I don't see or talk to somebody for a couple of weeks, they tend to be out of mind, and then my insecurities will come into play and, you know, weird drama happens. So for
right,
me, it's
right.
easier just to keep in touch with everyone.
Yeah, how often do you have to see your partner?
You know, it really depends on the partner. Right now I'm in what I would actually call a reasonably long-term, I don't know if 5 months is long-term, but there we go, in a relationship with a partner. And this is actually very unusual because we see each other actually 2 to 4 times a week,
oh,
which is kind of a lot.
That is a lot. That's a lot for any relationship.
It's kind of a lot. And I'm always surprised that he has that much time, because one of the things about poly relationships is time is the one thing you can't get
exactly.
more of.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of love. Sometimes there's plenty of money,
right?
But there is not always a lot of time.
Right.
But then there's another partner that he and I, we're just kinky partners. We're just play partners.
Okay.
And I see him maybe once a month. Oh,
okay.
And it's always like, okay, let's start the scheduling process now, because it's going to take a week to schedule this one evening, which is absolutely fine, because that's what I really want to be with him. I really like what he gives me. I love our interactions, and it's totally worth it to me to go through all that effort to schedule
yeah.
because – you know, that it's worth it. When it's not worth it, then we'll probably have a talk and stop seeing each other.
Exactly.
So, much,
right? So it's kind of a way of getting all of your sexual needs met.
You know,
it
is for some people. That always struck me as kind of a shallow argument for it.
Right.
Like, it's a little too logical, right? That, oh, well, I am into spanking and oral sex and shibari, and this person only likes spanking and oral sex, therefore I need to find a second person to do the shibari, which sort of makes sense in one way, but in another way seems kind of unromantic.
Right, I know, but it's kind of true, though, in a way. I know it might be shallow, but it just sounds like you are a woman who knows what you want, knows what you need. Monogamy doesn't work for you, and you so you've just found ways to satisfy, you know, and that you're satisfying them too. It's not that it's a one-way street. But you just have,
exactly
yeah
it's more about it's being a grown up and knowing yourself well enough to know what you want, and when somebody asks you for what he wants, being able to say yes, I can do that, or no, I can't,
right.
or I don't know, let's try, let's see what happens.
Right.
I'm a big fan of let's see what happens.
Right. Me too. Let's not commit to anything. Let's just see how it goes.
Sex should always be let's see what happens.
I totally agree. Now, what about jealousy 101? We said this in the year we talk about, because that's always the next question that comes up. Like, I could never do it because I'd be so jealous. And I'm like, I tell people you can overcome jealousy. You really can. You can learn to deal with it like any other issues you have. How do you instruct people?
Yeah, I think your answer is perfect. It's if somebody comes to me and says, I couldn't do it because I'm too jealous, I'm not going to argue and say, okay, all right, if you're too jealous, don't do it.
Right.
I mean, if you don't want to deal with the drama that jealousy will bring into your life, then, yeah, you probably shouldn't be poly.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you you're missing out, because who am I to say, you know? But if that's a concern, if you want to do it but you're afraid of jealousy, I would say, well, there are a lot of things we're afraid of, and we do anyway because they enrich our lives in many wonderful ways.
Right.
A lot of us are afraid of falling in love, right? And
right.
that can be insanely painful, but we do it anyway because it's so rich and rewarding when it does happen. So to me, jealousy is like that. It's something that you can deal with. You know, you learn a few tricks. You learn to know yourself really, really well. You learn when your insecurities are being triggered. You learn what that feels like. I did this, actually. I just did this the other week, I told the partner, the new boyfriend,
right.
And I said, you know what? I am getting to the part in the relationship where I am starting to back off and want to run away. So
right.
Just so you know, if I start acting weird, that's what's going on. And I'm fighting it, you know, but
good
call
for
me on
you
it if
for...
you see me doing something weird, because
yeah.
I can sense that I'm in this place where I'm like, okay, run away. And I'll start thinking of excuses to not be in this relationship.
Right.
And it's just a phase that I go through. I'm aware of it. Just don't let me actually
good
run
for
away.
You. It's
do
like
my
preemptive.
Best to keep
yeah.
a lid on it myself.
It's
is
so
that,
true.
Is that you being afraid to commit?
No, you're afraid you're going to get hurt, right?
I'm afraid of being hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had some really, really terribly, terribly painful experiences with polyamory. And it is actually, it's worse than monogamy. I mean, one person, you lose one relationship, it's awful. And the joy of polyamory is multiplied. So the joy that you get from being in a multiple situation is far more than being a single, but the pain can also be multiplied as well. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It hurts
right.
like hell. It really does.
Right.
And I've been hurt in 9 ways from Sunday, both in monogamy and in polyamory. So
right.
yeah, I get scared of being hurt.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any other questions? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing all this. Is there any other last things you'd like to leave us with? How can we find you? How can people listen into your podcast?
I am really easy to find. The podcast, along with all the show notes, is at polyweekly.com,
okay.
polyweekly.com. You can go to iTunes and do a search for Polyamory, hit subscribe. It's free. It will always be free. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm Cunning Minx. Or Poly Weekly. You can follow
great.
The show on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook, Cunning Minx. If you do friend me on Facebook, tell me how you know me or I won't approve the friend request.
Okay,
just
got
say,
it. We're going to put all this on
Emily,
our website.
And I'll approve it.
Okay.
and Poly Weekly also has a Facebook page as well if you just want to follow Poly Topics and not my own personal dating life.
Okay, got it. I will totally put all this on the website. And it's so great to talk to you. I'm glad we made this work. And good luck with everything. And thanks for sharing all your information. And good luck in your relationships.
Thanks so much, Emily. It's been a lot of fun.
So fun. Okay, Cunning Minx, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great night. Great day. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I said night. It's daytime. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, people are listening on podcasts. It could be
exactly.
day or night
we
or
don't
morning.
Know what the hell it is.
It was so weird. I was Skyping with somebody from Italy today, and it was like totally sunny and bright, and it was like 6 a.m. here
exactly.
and dark. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. Okay.
It's nighttime somewhere.
It is nighttime somewhere. Is that why I'm yawning?
Maybe.
Maybe.
People are watching this online. They could be anywhere in the world.
I know. I love that. You guys realize that you can watch the show every day.
Yeah.
If you become a Friends with Benefits member.
You can watch it live, or if you can't watch it live, you can download it and watch it on your iPad, your iPod, your
exactly.
Apple TV, any tablet.
So easy to do. Or through Stitcher.
Through Stitcher, you can listen on the go.
On the go. It's all good. Okay. Sex in the news.
Okay.
Got
cool.
Got some news here for you today.
All right. Good.
Okay. Tupac's sex video sounds like an X-rated music video. A 20-year-old sex tape starring rapper Tupac Shakur suddenly popped up for some reason. Highlights included singing, dancing, and a cameo from Money B from Digital Underground. Oh,
yes.
And sex, oral only, though. Did you see it?
I didn't see it. I heard about it today. It just started coming up in the news and more details and details.
Right.
And actually, if anybody, I probably shared this before, but I got my nickname Menace from a Tupac song.
I didn't know
I'm a big
that.
Tupac fan. Love Tupac because he's very popular here in the Bay Area if you're a young kid growing up.
I got it. Okay.
And I used to live with one of Tupac's childhood friends. He used to be my roommate.
No way.
He's actually the guy that we call up once in a while, Ray Love.
So
if you watch some documentaries about Tupac, you'll see Ray in the documentaries.
Totally. I remember him. He was on the show years ago.
Yeah. So,
so
but it sounds pretty, it sounds pretty hilarious. It's just like him singing and getting a blowjob and dancing at the same time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's like all men's favorite thing, right? Ego.
Yeah. But it's weird that it's just coming out now.
Yeah, I know. Why?
I'm not sure.
It just got released from the estate or something.
From the estate?
I don't know. His life. I don't know.
Maybe just somebody held on to it for, and they figure it's okay.
There's always sex tapes released. Well,
yeah.
It's really a video, but whatever.
But how funny is it that you're, as a woman, you give Tupac a blowjob like 20 years ago, don't even think anything of it.
Exactly.
Whatever, just giving them blowjob. And then out of nowhere.
I know. That's
20
why
years
you people
later,
can never do stuff like this because everything comes back to haunt you. It does.
Not me.
Not yet, dude, but just
Codes.
Wait.
Codes, You lock that up because that's probably a tape. Tapes can be found and gone through.
Okay, so everyone destroy your tapes. Seriously, come on. They just show up. I swear everything.
Put passwords on your hard drives.
I got it. Okay, Friday was the last day to have sex. Friday was the last day to have sex with the animal in Florida legally.
What?
Friday was the last day that you could legally have sex with an animal. That's in Florida. Weak. At the stroke of midnight, October 1st, the Sunshine State's new anti-bestiality law went into effect, forbidding sexual contact and sexual contact with animals. So it might be legal to have sex with other humans, too. Molds and fungi, however, are fair game.
Molds and fungi?
Yeah. Starting last Friday, if you knowingly sex up a member of Kingdom Animalia for a reason other than accepted animal husbandry practices, confirming judging practices, or accepted veterinary medical practices, it will be a misdemeanor. Florida is always the last one.
How funny is it that they even have to?
They have to because it's probably still in the books that they were still allowed to. And I'm sure in Florida where all the weird stuff goes down that people were doing that.
A lot of stuff going down on the bayou.
A lot of weird stuff going down in Florida, but you cannot have sex with your dog. Not anymore. Thank God. Okay, couples who watch porn together are more committed.
What?
Now, here's something all of you fans of porn might want to know. It's good for your relationship. A recent study found that not only do 45% of couples watch porn together, but it's a healthy way to bond. Not to mention all the tips and tricks you can learn from watching others get it on. The study, which was published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, found that when it came to unmarried couples, their relationship was more committed and sexually satisfying than if one were secretly indulging in porn while the other wasn't around. Communication around sex is a major component in a great relationship, and if you can work a mutual interest from porn into your sex life, it can add some spice to those missionary positions that might be getting old. I'm always telling couples, it just seems that couples don't – like, it's kind of a man thing. He separates from his partner, goes downstairs in the basement, surfs porn. But really, I think a lot of women can be into it. If you find the right kind of porn, they might not be into the same porn that you are, but I'm sure you can find mutually agreeable porn, and it might bring you closer. You don't need to hide it anymore.
To go over it again, what is your favorite type of porn again?
I don't have a favorite type of porn, but I'd say that, like, I like the more female-friendly porn with, like, plots and stuff like that.
Plots?
I'm a chick. Yeah.
The plots are so bad, though.
I don't care.
Just
you can
get
laugh at
the
it.
Banging. Who cares?
Chicks on chicks. I like that.
You're
who doesn't? But people are nervous. They're like, how do I bring it out to my partner? And just ask them. Just, hey, would you be interested in this? And then you guys can go to the store together. You could buy rent a DVD. You could order something
Screw
online.
Screw that. Fire TV.
Fire TV. FYRE TV is awesome. You can go there too and get your free porn.
It's very easy. It's like
it's very user
it's better. It's better than Netflix.
Exactly.
Guaranteed.
Exactly. So check out your porn and like do research because there are like stores like even like Good Vibrations in San Francisco or AdamandEve.com. When you get free, it tells you like female friendly porn. Like it breaks it down into the different kinds of porn.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I know
how crazy it is.
It's amazing. So check that out. Okay, Prince Albert goes on a date with a woman who is not his wife. Rumors of infidelity fly after the prince takes a date, not Princess Charlene, to a charity ball.
What?
Most brides, even non-royal ones, dream of a fairy tale ending once they walk down the aisle. But poor Princess Charlene of Monaco has been plagued with rumors of Prince Albert's infidelity since they got engaged. And now Prince Albert may be dating a new woman, not on the side, but in public with everyone to see her. The 53-year-old prince attended a charity ball and took a date who was not his brand new wife. Instead, 33-year-old Princess Charlene, Albert had a 39-year-old American singer named Beth Hart on his arm.
Really?
How could he do that? He's a prince. Shouldn't they charge
him? He's a prince. That's why he can do that.
Wow. And he may have fathered another love child when he was in a relationship with Charlene. He sounds like a douche.
No.
She should dump him.
He's
even
a player
if he's a
for life. Yeah.
Most guys are. I mean, can people change from being a player to not being a player? I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't know. You're a player.
You think I'm a
what
player.
Do you think?
I think I've changed a lot.
I have something in the news. Tell me, you act like you don't get jealous, but.
No, tell me.
Maybe you can ask another woman that will give an honest answer.
Okay, go ahead.
I was reading today, you know, my new favorite friend, who is really not my friend, but I met him one time, Sean Parker, right?
Right.
He was in the news today because he was down in Hollywood and he had he was at some party and he had a $6,000 bill. He tipped the waitress $5,000.
Oh my God. She must have been cute or something.
And he's engaged to a very cute singer. Like, this chick's beautiful, too. Now, as the partner of that person, would you be jealous if your man tipped?
No.
$5,000.
I think it was awesome. I'd be like, oh my God, she's so psyched. She's a waitress.
Yeah, I would think that
you just
was awesome.
Her rent times three.
I would think that's awesome too, but you know.
Some chicks get jealous. The chicks that you hang out with are jealous psychos.
Oh my God. Not the chicks that I just hang out with.
The chicks that you date are jealous.
This is something I observe.
Right. I think some women would get really jealous of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you.
How awesome. You tipped the waitress. That's so cool. We're going home together. You're not boning the waitress.
I think it's really cool.
Jealousy is something that you can contain and control. Like Cunning Mix just talked about. Like there are ways that you can overcome jealousy by working it through. Because a lot of times what we picture in our minds, oh, he must really like the waitress. Or, oh, he's really into this person. We picture the worst case scenarios.
Especially like, with women, not to be sexist. But okay, you guys really overanalyze a lot.
I know
of stuff.
We overanalyze and we jump to the worst possible case scenario. Uh-huh.
And then you call your girlfriends and then they just,
yeah, they're like, "Oh my God, the waitress, was she cute?"
They throw gas on the fire, which automatically makes me think of something that I saw over the weekend on how bad that is. I was watching our favorite show, The Jersey Shore, which you barely even watch. But I was watching it, and it was the two girls on the show, Snooki and JWoww.
Right.
Their boyfriends were supposed to come to Italy and come visit, right?
Right.
But JWoww's boyfriend couldn't go because he couldn't get out of work. And so Snooki goes to JWoww like, "Hey, you're going to have to call your boyfriend. I just heard from my boyfriend that your boyfriend can't come to Italy."
Oh, no.
And then she's like, "Oh, man," she was like so upset. And then this other girl that's on the cast, oh, like, "Oh, F that, blah, blah. That's ridiculous. Da, da, da." The guy couldn't get out of work.
I know, he's got to work. And you have such compassion for that because you work all the time and you know.
I'm like, the guy couldn't get out of work. Right. It's not his fault.
It's not that he's not into you or anything.
But all
the girls put the flames in the fire. Yeah. Stoke the flames.
They're throwing gas on it.
They're throwing gas. It's true.
That's
women do that.
That's why I say a lot of women's their best friends is their worst friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Depends if you have really, really good friends like I do.
Yeah.
But you are right that women typically are like, "Yeah. That's the worst thing ever," and they create the drama and it keeps holding, which is great for television.
So bad.
I know, it is bad.
Made me feel bad for the guy. Because out of all the boyfriends, he seems the coolest.
Oh, really?
The guy that couldn't get out.
Yeah. He had to work.
Yeah.
But she's bummed because she wants him there for the show and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree that you shouldn't always listen to your girlfriends.
No.
Especially because if they're jealous and they're not in a relationship, they tend to project their own agenda onto your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they or if a guy treated me that way, but that's just like, you know your relationship better than anybody. So while you can always seek advice from other people, which I think is good to talk to your friends or family, people who know you, but at the end of the day, you got to go trust your heart and trust what you think is right.
And especially when it comes to work, if it's boyfriend, girlfriend telling you to kind of like slack off from work, like don't do it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, a married situation might be different.
Right.
But I'm just saying boyfriend, girlfriend, I've gone through it too where I focus more on a relationship than work.
Right.
And it's gone really bad. You know?
Yeah, well, for you,
because
for
I'm
me,
telling
it doesn't
you,
work.
But I'm telling you, if you lose your job, there's a big percentage that you're going to lose your girlfriend or boyfriend too.
Right.
So just, you know, focus on that.
Right. I totally agree. Because if you lose your job, you're just bumming out and you're going to lose
them. You're going to lose the chick too.
Right. Okay. You're right. Okay, military court rules it's okay for Marine to wear uniform in gay porn. Because they lifted the don't ask, don't tell, right?
What?
Sergeant Matthew Simmons, an active duty member from the Marine Corps band, may be breathing a bit easier today because a military court ruled that it was fine and dandy that he filmed some gay porn movies wearing pieces of his Marine uniform.
Oh, no.
That's shocking. Wow, don't ask, don't tell fell, and now soldiers making gay porn is just hunky-dory. The U.S. Navy Marines Corps Council of Criminal Appeals ruled that Simmons should be resentenced for his guilty plea to misusing his uniform. So I can't believe the Marines are letting him like do gay porn in his Marine uniform. That just seems illegal.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the gay porn. It's not that. It's just official attire. Like if you're a cop and you're doing porn, no matter if it's gay or not,
right?
Don't be wearing your official gear. It can be costume, you know. But don't be wearing the official stuff.
I totally agree with you.
You know?
Yeah, I got it. And it's like gay porn. I don't know. Just some things are sacred, like the military. You're in the military, and I think you could wear something else. Maybe some chaps.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But you can definitely get a fake uniform.
Yeah, but not your real one that we're paying good tax dollars for. I know. Porn. Yeah.
I wouldn't want them to wear it in a straight porn either.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's tarnishing the military.
Yeah.
We have a lot of listeners in the military. Okay, Kabbalah Cure. Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, who have remained silent on a marriage split and reports of him cheating with blonde Sarah Leal, both spent yesterday morning at the Kabbalah Center in Los Angeles. You know, Kabbalah is the religion that they're way into. The two arrived and left separately. Ashton looked worried while Demi left out of a side door to avoid being seen. Reports say the couple have been undergoing Kabbalah counseling in recent months.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but maybe they'll come back together. But it doesn't sound like it, right? But it sounds like we read on Friday that they are getting divorced.
Yeah, that's weird because he tweeted out a song by Run DMC, and the song is Don't Believe the Hype.
Oh. So what does that mean?
But that's all he said. Like, it's not like Jada Pinkett and Will Smith. Like, we don't have problems. This is bull.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly.
Just hit it head on. They're not saying anything, so you know there is problems.
There is problems. Well, they're at therapy, but that's maybe they'll work it out, but it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I don't
ever know. Therapy is an amazing thing for couples. If you're in a relationship and you're thinking, like, we're having struggles, we're not getting anywhere, I've seen so many couples go through couples therapy, and you don't have to go forever. You can go for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I mean, the longer, the better. But you really can break through these relationship issues that you're having if you go see a therapist, I believe.
Yeah.
I know that to be true.
I believe it's good to talk to a therapist to figure out what your problems are. But if you're depending on a therapist to fix your problems, then you're an idiot.
Right.
I'm sorry.
They can't fix them, but they can give you the tools to talk to your partner. Because a lot of times partners get caught in this rut. And they keep having the same kind of conversations over and over again, and they don't know how to get out of the rut. And the therapist can kind of be the third party that's like, okay, you guys are talking about this, and here's how you should handle it, and here's how you should handle it. And they teach you new tools.
Yeah, that's the problem I had with therapy, because when I ended up going with one of my significant others who was already in therapy, started going to sessions with her to talk things out. That's a problem. The problem
I love
that
you did that.
The problems that I had was we recognized and we talked about it. I knew what the problems were, and I knew what to do to resolve it. But you can just never get over that hump.
Right.
It was the same. It's like, we know what's going on.
But you have the
on.
Same argument over and over again. So they're supposed to sort of get you out of that same argument and teach new ways to give you
Yeah, and it
tools.
Just, that's the problem with me. It wasn't changing, so
wasn't
that's why
changing.
I knew how to
that's
get
That's why
out.
You had to end it. Right. Well, if it wasn't changing and it wasn't helping, then you had to end it.
Yeah.
And you did.
But I think it was really good.
Yeah. I love therapy. Big fan. Been therapy forever.
But you got to be ready to change if you're going to do it.
Exactly. You have to want to change and all that stuff. Okay. Emails.
Yes, you had a really good one about how I was right again.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was about the intro. Can you read
that? Oh, someone said that we should keep the intro. I don't think I have this on here. We got a few about it, but someone did say, keep the intro, keep the intro, keep the intro. I love it. It's on in here right now.
And that's what I said. And you're like, no, we got to change it.
I was thinking the intro. I've had it for 6 years. I should do a new intro.
How long until Oprah started changing her intro?
I don't know. Did she not change it that much?
Probably not.
Okay, so I'll keep it.
Every woman.
Oh, right. Is that what she did? But like, look into your eyes. Man, obsessed by sex. People like it. Okay, hello again, Em. I wanted to shoot this by you two. Which would you prefer from a sexual encounter? Hands only, no mouth, or mouth only, no hands? It's from Dell in Boynton Beach, Florida. He's a premium Friends with Benefits member. Hands only, no mouth, or mouth only, no
like
hands.
Like a first date?
No. Sexual encounter. First sexual, like you're with some chick. Would you rather have her mouth or her hands on you?
Probably her mouth.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think hands.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want to make out?
Oh, I kind of want to make out, but no hands then? I don't know. Yeah. That's tough. I love hands like all over my body. Like if a guy runs his hands up and down my body repeatedly, like just cuddling and touching, it feels amazing. And he could use his fingers in other areas.
That's not something I do right away though. It's strictly making out and maybe like a hand on the body. But I'm not like moving it all over the place because I don't want to come off as a creeper.
No, but if it feels good, you're right. Maybe not the first time. I can't answer. I can't answer this question. This is a very difficult question. But I love mouth. I love making out. Mm-hmm. I love the mouth on other parts of my body. So you could kiss me all over my body and that would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe mouth then.
See, I'm bringing you over to my side.
Bringing me over to your side. Okay. Emily, is there a way to get a theme song for your show? I love it's catchy. I love it. It's catchy and funny. Love the show. Very entertaining. And your voice is perfect. Thanks, Mason. The name of the song is Martini Bomb. That's how you find it.
Yeah, I can't remember the singer.
Martini Bomb. Yeah, we got it years ago. And I can't remember what else, but it's called Martini Bomb. And it's like Sex Something is the name of it. You'll be able to find it. If you can't find it, let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. Help. My boyfriend about a year is asking me to try some new kinks that I'm not sure about. He wants me to lock up his penis in a little cage.
What?
I've never heard of this. Sorry. Is this a common fetish for guys? He claims it is. Is it unhealthy? I just don't know if I can do it. Any advice or help would be appreciated. Janie from Irvine, California.
Like a bird cage?
Well, there's like little penis cages that you could lock in it. Some men are into that kind of stuff. I don't think it's not normal. I think that men have their kinks.
Like a muzzle?
Kind of. I've never actually seen one, but I think there's like, he probably wants her to, he's probably into being dominated.
I'm just going to look for one.
And having his penis in a cage. I don't know if you can do it. I get that you don't know you can do it, Janie, but I would try it once and see if you can do it. Because a lot of times there's things that were like, no way, could I ever do that? But I think if you try it and see why he's into it, maybe you can find a variation on that. Maybe he just needs his penis in your protection.
Penis, it said, what came up was penis cages and chastity. Kind of like a chastity.
Yeah, like lock it up, lock up his penis. That's kind of a common thing like for men, and it is a common fetish for guys. And I think it's healthy. I think fetishes are healthy as long as he doesn't take it to a stream. I know that you don't know if you can do it, but I would say that my advice to you would be just to slowly try it, talk it through, ask as many questions to him as you can. Maybe he's never even done it and he doesn't know yet, but maybe there's like some variation on that theme you can do. But I would say it would definitely bring you guys closer together to put his penis in a cage.
Oh, you probably like this because they can't use their penis. Look, see?
Oh, it's like God.
It's like a chastity.
It's chastity. He can't use it until he...
I don't know if you can see that. It's probably too bright. Just Google penis cage.
Yeah. I think, men get thrilled out of that.
Men get off on chastity belts, you know? Oh, that's...
Right.
You know?
Totally.
Maybe it's just... But he gets off on her only being able to...
Yeah. He wants you to be the owner of his penis. I think it's kind of hot. I think you should go for it, Janie. Stop over worrying about it. If you don't like it, you never have to do it again. But I think with sex, you should try whatever you want. Try everything once.
Mm-hmm.
Not
just
everything.
Don't lose the key because that
don't lose the key because then he can't pee. He can't do anything. But I would like say try it, Janie. And I think it is kind of normal and it's not unhealthy.
No.
That's what I got to say for you. And that's all we have time for today. Thanks, Cunning Mix from Poly Weekly. You got to check her out. We'll post all her information on the website. Thank you so much for calling in. It was awesome to talk to you. She's got a great podcast. If you're polyamorous or you're just interested in kink and fetishes and all that stuff. And thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.